Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, tackling some player profiles here at the running back position. And a couple of guys, I figured I would hit them both. I might do these in pairs, you know, just so I can cover some more ground. But we'll do Michael Carter and Javonte Williams in this particular episode. So Michael Carter is actually one that I was pretty interested in from a profile perspective. I turned on the tape. I was pretty impressed by him in terms of there was some really good balance stuff. I thought he was quick in terms of really getting up to speed. And one of the things that you would see with him pretty consistently was people taking bad routes, people taking, you know, really bad angles on him, which, you know, that's one of those things I always look at and that always opens my eyes when guys are constantly out of, on bad pursuit angles, or you sort of get a guy trying to set the edge and he just destroys the edge. Those things are always, those jump out to me. And you would see, like, Kamara would do that all the time in college, where he would just, like, get someone and they would look to have an edge and he would just destroy the edge. And that was really, that's something that I consistently, when I see, like, that's something I'm consistently drawn to. I did see that a fair amount with him. So that was something that was pretty good. Problem is, when we sort of look at all of his profile, it's not that good. He comes in 5'8", 201, he runs 4.50, 16 bench press, 34 vert, 119 broad. A short shuttle, here's where what I think is his calling card is going to be his agility stuff. 3.98 at the short shuttle, 6.81 at the three cone drill. So when you look at some of that stuff, the short shuttle, 97th percentile, the three cone drill, 91st percentile. When you look at his versus expectation, that's adjusted for his size. He's 82nd percentile and the three cone stuff. So again, that change of direction, all that acceleration stuff, lateral stuff really is pretty good. When you look at when you look at some of the other stats, so the broad jump, for example, I mean, it's just, he's just above average in terms of the historical average, but again, he's doing it at a lighter weight. His vert is 40th percentile. It's not great. And his speed score is 98.03. That's 48th percentile, so just below average. Again, a BMI is nice at 30, but again, he's in the 19th percentile guys at the combine in terms of his weight at the running back position. So you sort of look at that and you're like, you know, that's really the problem with him is he's undersized. And not super athletic for his size. So I think that might hold him back in some of the, we'll call it the pedigree stuff with him. I just a little bit concerned about that. I was impressed by the tape. I think that some of the physical stuff's probably going to limit his upside in terms of in terms of where he could go in the NFL draft. So that's really the concern that I have with that's going to be something I'm going to echo throughout this class is really that. So 63% of market share of carries in his career, for that's 42nd percentile, and he had another NFL running back, NFL quality running back in there with him. So that's, you know, that's not super surprising. 60% market share yards. So he just underproduced his share of the offense, and that's 39th percentile. So that's not, you know, again, that's the Javonte Williams effect. Similar in terms of target share, he's 41st percent. 41st percentile in terms of drafted guys going back since we have this data in 2014. He's above average in terms of market share yards, and that's within the position. His composite grade, I guess the couple of really good things for him, composite grade in terms of his rushing score, over at PFF is 82.1. That's 88th percentile. So that's pretty good. Yards after contact, 3.85. That's 87th percentile. I did go and I looked at, I'm in the process of looking at some of the, I was trying to do some correlation stuff and see how well the yak stuff correlated, because I sort of had a theory, and it doesn't really correlate that well. And I even tried to adjust it for some stuff like, let's look at pedigree, you know, and let's look at maybe the, maybe teams are, maybe teams are sort of on this with, hey, the yards after contact, it's really being swayed by guys that are in bad conferences or whatever, so they're getting really big yak yards because they're playing bad defenses, and you know, teams are sort of seeing through it, and it's going to show up in pedigree. It didn't. So that can sort of tell us what the player is, but it doesn't necessarily tell us how well they're going to translate in terms of that skill. So that would just be something that I would look at. That's not a particularly predictable thing year over year, or college to the pros. So ultimately, I think he's in the top six or seven or so over at Grinding the Mocks. And now we're sort of sit here and you're, he's not that, I think that's going to fall with some of the athleticism concerns. Ultimately, I like the player and some of the production profile, but I think the size limitation is real, and I think some of the athleticism stuff is concerning as well. So that's really the concerns that I would have with him. Again, he's a plus pass catcher too, in terms of his yards per route run, 1.24, 66th percentile in terms of guys coming out of college. So, I mean, maybe if he was 215, we could say, hey, this is actually, he checks a lot of boxes in terms of can do a lot of different things. At his size, it's going to be tough. So that's really the concern that I have with Michael Carter. I think he's probably destined for day three. If he's not, I'd be interested to see. He's sort of on the fringe day two, day three right now in terms of where he is in some of the mock draft data. I'll be interested to see what that usage would look like. I would just be interested to see that ultimately. I do think he's, I think he does accelerate probably faster than some of the testing stuff would suggest as well. So that's really the big breakdown there for him. All right, let's turn and look at his teammate, Javonte Williams. And one thing with Javonte Williams, I turned him on and I was like, wow, I go, this guy, it was one of those things like, I was like, he doesn't make a ton of people miss, but he's constantly running through people. And so that's something that consistently showed up. So 1.54 yards per route run, that's 80th percentile. So you really, really like that in terms of his production, market share of carries, 68.8%. So that's 57th percentile, so well above average. Market share yards, well, it's above average as well at 56%. And then you sort of look at his target stuff again, that's 56%. So you basically see kind of how these guys split up in the offense. It was Williams basically kind of like a 60-40 split there. So a couple of things that I think really, really jump off the page for Javonte Williams. 90.18 composite PFF score. And that composite PFF score basically is weighted for, so PFF does a rushing score each year based on your stats that year. And then, but it's not really on like a per carry thing. It's just a total number. So I do a composite, which is basically divide out, basically weight it, right? So you get a full measure of the entire career. When you look at the guys since 2014 that have PFF grades, that's as far back as they go that have complete PFF grades, he is the best in college football. So that's what we're dealing with. 4.26 yards after contact, that is 94th percentile. So when you, the Nick Chubb comparisons, they show up in his metric profile. They show up, and I know a lot of that stuff is character related too. I really like the player. I think the question will become some of the stuff with his athleticism. I think it's going to be that's really going to be the big thing with him. Again, I think the general rule of thumb, if you're looking for basically general rules of thumb, physical testing once is predictive, and you'll see a correlation between physical testing, particularly speed, and NFL draft pedigree. Okay, so fast guys go earlier in the draft. And you hear this, and this should not surprise, but you'll hear this, and the moniker that you'll hear is teams draft traits. That is one of them, right? So so the Mac Jones, he shouldn't go in the first round because he doesn't have, or he shouldn't go in the top 10 or shouldn't go wherever. He just doesn't have the physical traits you're looking for. Well, that gets teams in a lot of trouble at the wide receiver position, because one of the things that we know is, you will hear this and just be listening to this. If you're listening to other podcasts, you're listening to other other folks talk, NFL folks, they'll say, you shouldn't draft college production, you should draft traits. Wide receiver, like, that is a horrible process historically. And so, I get it with some of the other positions, but wide receiver, that's a horrible process. It's consistently been shown that guys that are productive from a young age in college are better in the NFL than, the toolsy guys. So, so that's just one thing I would say. So it does impact draft pedigree. What it does not do is, once you get intra round, right? So if you compare round three guys, just for example, the faster guys within that round don't perform any better than the slower guys within that round. So you can sort of kind of go back towards that base rate once you sort of know, and you shouldn't really dock a player for the 40 time. And that can be a really good source of value. Give you a good example. You two first round wide receivers, one of them runs really fast, one of them not so fast. But they go relatively close in the draft, and everyone in Dynasty falls in love with the fast guy. Right? There's probably value on there's value trading that spread, right? Taking the guy that doesn't test quite as well, just because it hasn't shown to be predictive, and I think a lot of those things are random. So yeah, that's basically the workup there. So Javonte Williams, 212, so a little bit of that tweener size, but that's up above 210, we'll take it. 4.55, again, not good, not great. Bench press 22, vert 36, broad jump 123, that's in inches, so that's 10 feet 3 inches. I'll read all of those broad jumps in inches. Short shuttle 4.09, and the three cone is 6.97, so he's breaking that sub 7 second three cone. When you look at the speed score, 98.9, so just above the median there. It's 52nd percentile. When you look at the bench, very good there, 68th percentile, so you'd like to see that. Vert, 68th percentile as well. Broad jump, 82nd percentile, so that's very good. Short shuttle is up there as well in terms of his, it's a 88th percentile, and the three cone 64th percentile. He is above expectation, so he's better than expectation in the three cone by about a tenth, well, 800ths of a second, so just short of a tenth of a second. So I mean, it's a pretty good, outside of the blazing speed, he basically checks almost every box. A good receiver, and really, really good after contact. Again, really highly regarded in terms of how he performed. And that PFF stuff, the problem is it's some limited sample, and there's not a ton of correlation with it. But I'll say, I think it's valuable to have sort of a systematic way of looking at film, and I think that's one of the things. So it might not necessarily be, hey, the good guys are really good, or the bad guys are really bad in the NFL. The good college scores are bad. The good college scores are good in the NFL. The bad college scores are bad in the NFL. But I do think it helps you sort of fill in. So you look at some of the metrics, and it's just one more box to check. Say, hey, everything sort of aligns, right? And so that's one of those things. We're looking for prospects that basically align, that align on film, that align on tape, that align, athletically. And when all of those things are good, right, we can make our best judgment that, hey, that's probably a player that we like. When they diverge, that's a situation where we got to really reevaluate. But this is one that I think when you look at Javonte Williams, I think if you feel pretty good about the prospect across the board, if he lands on day two, I think we really like that. If he lands in round two, that'd be awesome. And I still think he has a chance for that, even though that 4.55 number might cool some people. I'm not super worried about it. Because I think everything else pretty much checks out. So, and I really like watching the player on tape as well. So I think he's an exciting player to watch here coming forward. And I think really, really, we're hoping for a day two. We're hoping for a round two, because outside of him, like, it could be pretty disastrous in like the middle part of the first round for some of these, for some of these one quarterback drafts in particular. Like, it could be I was looking at this, some of the stuff today as I was sort of preparing for the show, and it's like, man, I don't know how Pitts gets past 4 or 5. Like, it's going to be really tough. He's going to break the tight end ADP record by quite a bit, just because he's going to, like, kind of by necessity. It's not that great of a class outside of the quarterback position and a couple of guys up at the top. So, but all right, well, that'll do it for Javonte Williams. Until next time, and Michael Carter. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.